Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a very unique and special show today. You know, on the Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, we always try and bring in the absolute best of the best, the people that are leading the way in their particular field. And we've been able to book Mr. Haseeb Boudani on the show today. You probably know about Haseeb. He is the co-founder and CEO of Rafe Systems. And let me tell you, what they're doing with Rafe Systems is absolutely remarkable. They provide a platform for automating deployment, scaling, and operations of application containers across clusters of hosts. If you know anything about Kubernetes, you're going to love the show. And if you don't know about Kubernetes, you probably need to know about them because really they're running the entire world as far as we know. So Haseeb, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Andy, thank you for having me. Nice to talk to you today.
It's super great to have you on the show. It's really an honor. As you know, what we like to do is we like to pull the lens back to 30,000 feet just to begin with and tell us about Rafe Systems.
Sure. So Rafe is in what's emerging as the Kubernetes management space. We help enterprises speed up their application modernization journeys by helping automate the infrastructure that runs the applications, be it in the cloud, so AWS or Azure or GCP, or on-premises. This is fast becoming a big problem for enterprises because it's a new problem. The tools are new, the teams are new, everything is new. It's a new market. But it's an important market because I think every large enterprise recognizes now that the key way to compete is by delivering faster, better features to their customers so that they can move faster than competition. I think that pace of business requires for us to digitize our offerings, our products, and Kubernetes is a key enabler for that, which is why Rafe is having, such a good year so far.
Well, that's awesome, Haseeb. And obviously, it appears that you have a SaaS approach, the SaaS model. All of our viewers and listeners know what that is, software as a service in which your system can really deploy in minutes. Let's talk about that. How does someone come on board when they need this very, very crucial element in their technological platform?
So it's very easy. If you go to our website, rafe.co, you'll see a button to sign up. Sign up. Usually 30, 40 minutes later, you can have infrastructure up and running in a cloud or on-premises and at least a test app deployed. Look, I think the one of the key innovations on the platform that we really believe was important for our customers was if they want to move fast, infrastructure management shouldn't become an impediment to them moving fast. So this is something we spent a lot of time thinking about. We looked at, the market as it existed when Rafe started, and it was clear to us that, Kubernetes, it's awesome when it's up and running. But to get there, it's a lot of work. And you know, that is a hill that many teams will die on, because it's really hard. Well, what is the right way to consume this? What is the right capability set that customers need? And this became Rafe. And we deliver all of these capabilities. So, you know, provisioning of infrastructure, deployment of applications, management of user access, doing all of this using the zero trust security principles that enterprises already understand and appreciate. You know, that became the battle cry for the team, and they seem to have done a really, really good job delivering this. But net, our customers who are predominantly, or either consumers or DevOps engineers in companies, they have a lot to do. They have a lot going on. They have a lot of pressure. And we work with them to take this Kubernetes management and operations pressure off their back, so they can focus on more important things in the company. It's a breath of fresh air to have customers look at the product like this and go, wow, I don't need to do this anymore. I can go focus on what makes my business money versus sit here and automate Kubernetes for the next year. And so that's fundamentally why we exist.
I love it, Haseeb. And of course, Rafe has been known for simplifying Amazon EKS deployments and operation and really accelerating Kubernetes. Let's talk about the types of customers or clients that come and use your SaaS platform. What do they look like? How big of a company are they? What, you know, enterprise are they running? What type of solutions do they need?
Yep. So the majority of our customers are mid-sized to large enterprises. These are companies that, you know, usually have made the decision to be what's called cloud first, Andy, which means they have infrastructure in a data center or multiple data centers. And going forward, you know, the leadership team has decided to, you know, pick a cloud or maybe two clouds sometimes. You know, we see a lot of AWS, we see a lot of Azure, and some GCP we're starting to see also. But these are companies that have made a decision. The company's modernizing, digitizing. Let's become cloud first. These companies predominantly will choose to use the Kubernetes managed services that are already being provided by Amazon and Azure. So AWS provides EKS, as you mentioned. Azure provides something called AKS, so ENVA. But then once they make these decisions, they have to now invest in essentially building a platform so that their developers can consume this infrastructure and deploy applications, and their operations and SRE teams can keep all this stuff running 24/7. So now DevOps has a pretty significant job, which is they have two customers now, right? So they have developers who say, you know what? I don't care about Kubernetes. I just need to write my apps and I need them to work. And the ops team says, I have 50 other things to do. I will never become an expert at Kubernetes. So give me a layer that I can easily now manage all this infrastructure. And oh, by the way, we're not just in Amazon. We're probably also in Azure. We also have a data center, and we don't have one cluster. We have many of these. So that platform layer on essentially on top of Kubernetes, which we call Kubernetes management, I think that's the pain. And when enterprises start, right? So first thing is they pick Kubernetes. All right, great. And then they get a little bit of mileage on it. And then they realize, wow, I got to build this platform now. Who's going to do this for me? Right. And then they start looking for options. So those are our customers, mid-sized to large enterprises. And I think particularly because they're cloud first, most of them are, for them to even entertain the idea that I'm going to go to a company who's going to sell me software, I'm going to run it myself. When my entire enterprise is cloud first, and you want me to buy software and run it? Why? My entire data center is in the cloud, right? So it's a service. Why am I doing this? That's our customer, right? So they're already a priori decided that SaaS is the right consumption model for everything that they do. They're doing, CRM is there and human capital resource management is in the cloud and their data center is a cloud. They want everything service, right? I mean, email is a cloud, everything. So that it works nicely. So a SaaS consumption model, I think independent of Kubernetes, it just makes sense to CIOs that that's what they want for everything going forward. But then the simplicity of platform operations that we deliver, look, we haven't lost a deal in a long time. Because it solves the problem that a customer is trying to solve.
I love it so much, Haseeb. And for the entrepreneurs watching the show, whether you're a technologist or offering another type of product or service, listen to what Haseeb says, because they've been able to simplify the platform. They've been able to put their enterprise customers in the position to be able to do something that they need so that they can focus on the most important thing in their business, which is providing a product or service to their customers. So it really makes all the sense in the world. It's very, very interesting. And what you've been able to do with your SaaS system really is has led the way. It's really the shining light on the hill, if you will. It can deploy in minutes. It's instantly scalable. I'm sure that the people you work with love that very much. You give automatic updates when they're needed. So this entire space of Kubernetes is really something that people, they don't want to bother with it. They want to hire a company like yours, Haseeb, to take care of all that needs to be done and lean on the experts through your SaaS software platform to do it for them. And it makes all the sense in the world. Take us back a little bit to the journey, Haseeb. How did you start thinking about this and why this platform makes so much sense now?
So the now part is the easy answer, I guess, luck and timing, right? I mean, you know, it's impossible to time things, right? You kind of, you know that you timed it well in hindsight. I think, but there were some, I guess, indicators that it was about to happen. So, you know, a few of my colleagues here at Rafe, we've worked before in a prior startup, and this is pre-Kubernetes. But I think fundamentally in the previous startup, we were building a security platform, and we had a lot of pain with just infrastructure management. And I've shared this story before that I think for me personally, I don't think I realized, Andy, how hard the job is for DevOps. Till I think that company had been acquired and we'd been running it as part of a bigger show. I used to think, just write a script. What's the big deal, right? Write a script and we'll be done tomorrow, right? How hard is this? Nah, it's pretty hard. And we kept adding more engineers and more engineers and more engineers. And it was sort of like it wasn't a priority for us as a business. We were focused on security. And this was like, okay, we'll write some software. And hey, you guys in that corner, here's some software. Go run it for us. No, that's really bad, right? So that experience of basically kind of, you know, arguably not doing the best of jobs and thinking about how important infrastructure operations is to any business, you know, got us thinking about, wow, we should have done this better. Then I got started thinking about, wow, so every enterprise is going to do this going forward over the next many years? Because in 2018, the idea of digital transformation and application modernization was already a thing, right? So having built a pretty large platform on the internet, and we had had similar pain. It was clear that, well, somebody should go out and, you know, really start from scratch and think about these new applications. At that time, containerization was there. Kubernetes was just beginning in 2018. Somebody's going to have to solve this problem. Every enterprise is going to solve this problem. And to me, I think the clarity was that Kubernetes is a commodity. Before people, 2 years ago, it was clear, this is a commodity. By the way, when I say commodity, I don't mean free. I don't mean easy. I mean, everybody's going to do it and it's going to look the same, right? No, commodity, right? So it's a resource that everybody uses. It's complicated, but everybody is the same. So my customer, myself, we also are a Kubernetes shop, right? My customers, competitors, my competitors, all of us are basically solving the same problem. How is that good for the economy? We're all solving the exact same problem. That doesn't make any sense, right? So there should be a market. We should just take that on, and then we do it for everybody else, right? So that extrapolation is obvious in hindsight, and many smart entrepreneurs have done this before, right? They see a problem that everybody's solving, they say, well, I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do it such that anybody else can just consume it as a service. They don't need to solve it themselves. And that became the genesis of the company. But some prior pain, I mean, obviously, we were in a very entirely different business, nothing to do with Kubernetes, but the general pain around infrastructure operations being hard, and the fact that my team was clearly not treating this as the most important thing in the company. We didn't, so why would anybody else, right? And that, I see this now, right? I mean, people kind of focus on the app, and then the DevOps kind of thing comes later, and we're trying to educate our customers saying, hey, don't wait for a year. Like, I get this all the time, Andy. We're early at this. I don't think we need this right now. We'll talk in a year. No. Now, let me tell you why. Because you're going to make a bunch of decisions that are going to bite you in a year or a year and a half. And you're going to wish that we had talked now. So let's find a model where we can kind of get you onboarded. You know, it's, you know, I mean, and from an ROI perspective, this is going to be so much cheaper you know, working with a platform like ours. And the following, Andy, I say a lot, whether you buy from me or not, I'm okay with that. Buy something. You want to buy from my competitor? It's fine. Buy something. Don't do this in-house. Don't kind of feel like I'll do this later. This is easy. It's not easy. And my job here as a vendor, first and foremost, is to just kind of help you understand your journey over the next 3 years, all of the things you have to solve for. And again, look, if you choose a product, very nice, but choose something, because this is not a good investment for your business.
I love it. It makes all the sense in the world. What a great way to approach the business, especially when you know your platform is leading the way. It's leading edge. It's so easy to use for your enterprise customers. When people call you up, Haseeb, do they want to know how it all works? In other words, like, do they say, Haseeb, do you require inbound access, you know, to my Kubernetes clusters? Or are you going to be poking holes in my firewalls or setting up SSH access or reverse tunnels? You know, do they have those types of questions with regard to security, and how do those questions get answered?
Yeah, excellent question. So a key kind of tenet of the platform is zero trust security. We run a SaaS product, but our customer's infrastructure is behind a firewall somewhere. And they ask the question, so how are you going to manage this? I mean, we are here and you're there. So they ask these questions, and usually they come up in actually the first meeting. And we walk them through a core design principle that we built around, you know, how do we do Kubernetes management, behind firewalls, and so on. That question comes up a lot, and B, it allows us, actually sets us up to explain how this is an enterprise-grade platform. And we help the customer understand, look, I mean, firstly, excellent question. You should ask everybody that question. And then B, not only that, so this is important. Yes, zero trust connectivity for Kubernetes is important, but then you also have to think about, Mr. Customer, do you have the right workflows in place so that your operations teams can do the jobs they need to do? Do you have the right support in place, et cetera? There's four or five things you have to think about that make for an enterprise-grade Kubernetes management platform. And look, the most important one is SaaS to me. How can you not do SaaS for this? The second most important is indeed, you know, the kind of the zero trust connectivity model. The third one is multi-tenancy. Every enterprise is multiple teams. So do you have multi-tenancy built in? The workflows I mentioned, how do you make sure that ops can, if I need to upgrade a cluster, do I need to go run 10 scripts, read 5 logs, or is there one button I can press and then the workflow is kind of, it guides me through the process, as one example, right? And then finally, enterprise support. So we have people in 3 time zones. Yeah, Slack us, give us a call. We'll solve your problem. This is not about, oh, well, here's our community blog, please go read it. No. My enterprise customers expect enterprise support. They need it right now. I need an answer right now. Get on a Zoom call. We have customers who are so comfortable with our team, and we encourage this. They say, hey, I'm running an issue. Here's a WebEx link. Can somebody join? They don't even send an email and say, do you have time next? No. Right now, I need you to join, and we will join. That's what enterprises expect, right? Just we got to deliver on this.
I love it, Haseeb. You really have the pulse on your customer. You really have your ear to the ground with what they need. You know that modern applications are increasingly being built using containers, and they're all going to be built using containers, it seems like. And with your system, it's absolutely incredible that you've been able to sort of understand the need of your customer and put something together in a way that's not only meaningful, but very helpful to them, that they don't have to wait. They don't have to figure it out themselves. They don't need to go through all the rough patches and the potholes in the road that they're definitely going to encounter unless they reach out to a company like your company. So it really makes all the sense in the world. You solve such a great problem with Rafe systems. So Haseeb, let's talk about this for a minute, because, you know, people are going to watch the show and they're going to say to themselves, well, I mean, this is heady stuff here. This is intense. This whole thing started in 2018. Haseeb and his team were able to get in front of this. They were able to think it through in a way that was so meaningful and provide a platform that really gets it done for their enterprise clients. And they're going to say to themselves, well, Haseeb, he's just figured it all out. But we have younger entrepreneurs that watch the show. Maybe they're technologists as well. And maybe, Haseeb, they're hitting a pothole. maybe they're hitting a roadblock or something in the road that they can't get through. And what I'd love for you to do, Haseeb, if I can indulge myself to ask this question of you, is maybe think about the younger entrepreneurs or the people that are having a tough time in their business and talk about maybe your journey a little bit. And as entrepreneurs, you and I both know it's not always smooth sailing. Sometimes you do hit those pots in the road. And a lot of times people say, if you don't hit them, then you're not pushing hard enough. But what do you say to the younger entrepreneurs that are hitting that pot in the road, pothole, where they don't know what to do? They're a little freaked out. They maybe don't know how to make it work.
Yeah, look, this life is peaks and valleys, right? Every day, not, you know, I'm sure this is, anybody who's done this once or twice would appreciate this every day, right? Somebody's going to tell you you're an idiot, right? You don't know what you're talking about. You should get a real job. Somebody's going to say it every day. And then you'll have some customers can be so wowed by what you've done. And they're going to be like, wow, I wish I'd met you guys a year ago. Remember the peaks, because there are more valleys and peaks. It is what it is. That's what I try to do, right? Every time, you know, like a VC will tell me, I don't know about this, and, you know, I don't know, VMware is going to do this, whatever, right? Some, you know, okay, fine, whatever, right? I mean, just remember the fact that, and I've told this to enough VCs, 100% of my enterprise customers are VMware customers. They didn't buy from VMware. Why do you think that is? They're not idiots, right? Why? Because they see value. They see value over here. And, you know, some problems are fundamentally hard to solve. Money and people and, you know, teams don't solve these problems. That's why startups are successful, right? So you bet on the people. You don't bet on the product, in my opinion, by the way. The ideas change, right? People pivot. It's okay, right? But you bet on people. And, you know, there's a grit to teams who are successful, because particularly the first year, you're not just so hard, right? Our engineers, man, they work so hard. And then we maybe joke about this, the worst thing that could happen to a startup is actually real customers. Because then customers say, I love this, but can I get this? Can I do this? Can I get this? And your workload is now more because you have customers, right? So, and they just do it, right? The team here is just so good, right? So at every level, you need people who are believers. I think, and that's the most important thing, right? Look, people who say a lot of stuff, it's okay, right? You just got to believe. And if you don't have that, we are absolutely in the right track. Here's data, right? Not customers, right? Absolutely in the right track. And all these people will come and say, no, you're wrong. Or, it's okay. Thank you for input. All right, I'll see you next year. And when you're going to tell me that, you know, that conversation never happened. Right? It's okay, right? So that happens, potholes come. Just, you got to believe. But if you don't believe, right, and unfortunately, you know, this happens every now and then, you know, folks start companies because, well, I'm in the Bay Area, I've never done a startup. No, that's not a good enough reason to start a company, right? You really must intensely believe that this is a problem that I need to solve. It has to be solved. I'm the one to do it. If you don't believe that, it's really hard, man. I mean, you know, it's hard at home, right? You know, many of us have families, kids. It's hard at work because you have engineers. I mean, you know, just believe. If you don't believe, don't do it.
Haseeb, I love it so much. You have to have that belief. And we all know that the corporate culture starts at the top with that belief. And you've been able to provide that belief through your entire team in what you're doing and providing this platform that's really the leading edge platform, taking something that looks to be very complicated, but simplifying it for your customers in a way that just makes all the sense in the world for them, and putting them in the position to win. And that's what you do. And that's what you've been able to do at the company. And I just wanted to congratulate you so much. It's been a real honor speaking to you. I know you've only cut out a certain amount of time today, but listen, this is just so fascinating. You and I could talk on and on about what you're doing and entrepreneurship, and certainly Kubernetes continues to evolve and emerge. You're going to be the leading sort of spokesperson about simplifying the entire deployment for enterprise customers. So Haseeb, I wanted to thank you so much for, you know, cutting out some time today to come on the Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. It's a real delight to have you on the show.
And you really enjoyed it. Thanks for really fun questions. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.